You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Welcome to the Two Old Dolphins Podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Alex Symes and me, Scott Quiggle.
All right. Hey, Alex, how are you doing today?
Tua. That's Tua. How I'm doing today. That's how I'm doing today.
Yes.
Oh, finally.
The future is here. And now we got to wait 2 weeks to really see the future. But, oh my gosh, what an exciting moment. There were so many great things to say about that.
Classic.
Absolutely. So, you know, Tua coming in with less than a minute left and not having, you know, necessarily prepared something. It's scrub time, you know, going to hand the ball off a couple times. He actually did end up throwing a couple passes. Was not what you or I really wanted to see in his first appearance.
We wanted to see something like what's going to happen in the next appearance, which will be, you know, the build up. He's starting, you know, that type of situation. And we thought it was going to happen, you know, after the bye week when we played the Jets, and then bye week and play the Jets again.
Right. So in the interest of predictability, we spend a little time and effort every season having our prediction episode. And here's what we had to say about when we thought Tua would come in.
But then we have a bye.
Yes.
Right? Week 11.
It's Jets by Jets.
Okay. Week 12 is my bold prediction again.
Here it comes.
Tua era begins in Miami, and it begins with a victory over the Jets.
Pretty close, huh?
Yes. Well, it's exactly right after the bye week. It made perfect sense to have him practice one week and then have Fritz started, and then another week, and then, you know, another week even after that. So basically 3 weeks to prepare for.
Right. I think the way the schedule was, and now I'm losing it a little bit because there's been so many shakeups, was Jets at home and then the bye week and then Jets in New York, or was it the reverse? I don't know.
I thought it was reverse. It doesn't really matter. It's going to keep changing anyway.
It is.
But the key was is how fantastic that. Now we know Tua's starting. We know the future's here. And we can really see what we have at quarterback, which looked damn special for that short taste that we had the other day.
A little naked bootleg and a 2-yard pass?
Well,
that's about as high percentage as it gets, right?
I mean, think about that. A naked bootleg in your own end zone for his first NFL pass.
Yeah.
He had two guys breathing down his neck like the minute the ball was snapped. And he completed it.
Yeah, at least he wasn't, you know, a lot of times when you get that first moment in that scary situation, you grip the ball too tight. And when you grip the ball too tight as a quarterback, that's when you see quarterbacks drive the ball into the ground. But that didn't happen.
It didn't happen. And then he got another shot, and he completed the second pass, was our first third down conversion for the whole game.
So this isn't quite the same as the first appearance, at least that I remember, of him in college. That was the ultimate pressure, wasn't it?
That was crazy, huh? National championship stage, and we both talked about it, and we thought Saban had completely lost his mind.
Yep.
But no, he turned out to be the mad genius that he is.
Yes.
And he had a secret weapon,
and he was holding it, and he was holding it, and he was holding it, and he pulled the trigger at the most unbelievable time.
And I believe this is the same thing that Miami has seen, because What we saw in Tua, or our coaching staff in Flores, which is, you know, he's every day he's growing bigger and bigger in my eyes as a hell of a coach. Flores saw what he was seeing in Gailey and all the guys, and then they decided this is the guy, this is the time to put him in. That was really, really never a strong feeling last year with Rosen.
No. Nope.
You never felt that, right? You never felt he had the locker room or anything.
Right. And it seemed like an experiment gone wrong. You know, we got to put him out there. There's pressure to put him out there. Maybe the owner is even saying, hey, let's see what we got. I don't know. I don't know if he caves into stuff like that or not. But he's not like
Jerry Jones. I don't think so. But the cool thing about it is you see how happy, how enthusiastic the crowd, which wasn't much of a crowd that was there. It was incredible, the noise. And then the entire reaction of the Dolphin team, not to mention Fritz.
Yes.
I mean, he was up there waving him on.
And, I have good and things amazing to say about Fritz. I can, now you got me saying Fritz. It's Fitz.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. So I love Fitz. I think he's an awesome human. I think he's a great leader. This is a repeat of things I said before. I don't have the greatest things to say about Fitz during this game, but when we cover the Jets, we'll get into that. For now, this is the Tua moment.
Amazing, amazing. It's great that this moment came.
Yeah.
And because of the change of schedule, we got it earlier than we thought.
Yep, earlier than we thought. But it makes perfect sense still. So
the timing is just brilliant.
Yep. 2 weeks to prepare for a home game. You know, I can't imagine the people fight. I mean, I'd be fighting over tickets at this point.
Yeah, against a Ram team that was taken to the woodshed by San Francisco, a team that we took to the woodshed just a week earlier.
Right, right. So
in the same field. It was both in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same field, saw us taking them out and beating the living daylights out of them. And they did the same thing to the Rams. And the Rams now have to travel cross country to meet us. I like our chances.
I like our chances, too. And this is a game that we both picked as a loss. And
I'm not sure
about that anymore either. We'll get into analyzing the Rams. We'll do another episode prior to the game next week, and we'll make our quote unquote modified predictions then. But
this is all about Tua.
I'm so excited.
This is all about Tua, and Tua is just such a great young kid. The way he sat there FaceTiming his parents and that devotion, the way his own team. I saw Jets coming up to him.
I just love that we have put good human beings on our team, from
leaders,
from the coaching staff to both our quarterbacks to, you know, I mean, seeing Fitz on the sideline trying to get the crowd even into it even more, quote unquote crowd, right? Raising his arms up and stuff. What quarterback does that when they come off the field?
And his happiness.
Big smile on his face, everything. Yeah. I've never seen that before. Have you ever seen a quarterback come off the field to be, you know, even in scrub time, replaced somebody excited like that?
No. And just to see how excited he was to see him in there. I don't know how excited he is today when he found out he's no longer the
starter.
I'm sure he's going to go like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have reacted so positive. But no, he's a great human being. He may
have known it was coming. I mean, that could be a conversation that he had privately with the coaching staff to begin with, and knew what was going to happen when.
Fitzpatrick is has always been an intelligent quarterback, a good person, a leader, and someone that people want to play for. But Tua is your entire package. He's got the skill set, he's got the pedigree, he's got championships, he's got everything on his side. He didn't play for Harvard. Yeah, that's good if you want to be a lawyer, right? He played for Alabama, which is
And he is a national champion.
Yeah, the semi-pro program in the NFL right now, right?
Right.
And there you go. They're the farmhouse. They're where you want to go to get the guys that are more NFL ready than anybody else. From wide receivers to running backs to hopefully now quarterback. It's just an incredible machine that they have down there. And Tua led them very well. I mean, he had a shootout against an LSU team, and he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
That was unreal. I mean, this is it, man. This is our time, and this is super exciting that we have Tua coming up at this early in the season. So we're going to get this season just totally has changed for me.
Me too. I mean, I was not excited leading into the first game, other than happy to have football at all, right?
Yeah, grateful to have football. We have to be grateful that the effort and that they just have football in the midst of all what our country, our world is going through. It was great.
And then coming out 0-2, you know.
And the bad showing, the offense looking stale. It just it wasn't fun. It was not fun.
And instead of, Flores and company taking half the season to get everyone in line and coaching up, it happened. It happened.
It happened. And now here we are. Here we are. I mean, we got Tua. I'm so excited, so happy. I wish next week was the day.
I know. Now we have to wait 2 weeks. It's going to drive me nuts. How old are we, Alex? Don't say the number, but I'm just saying it's been 20 years.
Well, if you ask my wife, she says, if you ask my wife, she'll say that I'm like a 14-year-old sometimes. But,
perfect.
My body sometimes feels a little bit younger or older, I should say. My mind a lot younger. But, hey, man, this is just – it's been a while since we've seen this type of excitement. The excitement that we had when Dan Marino took over, that everyone knew – he was the better quarterback.
Yes. Yep.
Everyone knew. We saw it and that's the thing that we didn't get to see here. We saw it in the preseason. We saw that Woodley was a hell of a guy.
Yep.
A superhuman being that led us to a Super Bowl the year before. Mm-hmm. But the other guy looked stellar.
So the one thing that I have to say, especially for anyone that's a little bit younger listening and certainly knows about the Marino era, but wasn't engaged with it, because, it's been a while now, is that I, as a Dolphins fan, miss more than anything knowing that because we have a great quarterback, there's always a shot. There's always a chance. You can come back from any deficit. You can beat any team.
You're never out.
You're never out. You know, you have the confidence. You have that excitement, that feeling, that everything that goes with having the talent at that position. And I think we have it again.
We have it again.
Yeah.
We have it again. I mean, I remember a playoff game against Cleveland. We were down like 3 scores and Marino throws 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You know, and just that is the kind of quarterback that we know he's got that it factor. You can't argue that this kid, as a freshman, walked in at the biggest stage in college football, as we said. He's got that it factor.
Mm-hmm.
And he you could see that everyone just loves the guy, wants to play hard for the guy. And so it's going to be exciting that we have that. And now in a division where we are legitimately in second place.
Yes. We're 500. Uh-huh. Right? We're 500. We're
500.
Yeah, 3-3 right now. We've
on
got
a winning streak.
On a winning streak. We've got a really tough schedule in front of us.
Yes,
but
the toughest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But I feel like we have as much shot as anyone else at this point. One of the things that we used to enjoy doing, at least back in our first season, before we just, decided that Gase was going to be such a problem and started ringing the funeral bell for him and all that stuff, was looking at the power rankings. And so it's really, we're back to that. I can't wait to see the power rankings leading into the Rams game. I'm going to wait for a week before we resuscitate that, but then we can track it from that point on. We're headed up. The green arrow is up. Everyone is excited. I think, the national press, everyone, we may get bumped. Even with the quality of people covering our games, we may get bumped. Up.
We're going to get bumped, and we might even get one of those Sunday night games.
That would be something. Yes.
It's happening, man. Yep. It's happening. It's been fantastic. This is really a ride. We're going to go on a ride right now.
All right.
This is really, yep.
So as a prelude to covering the Jets game, to be more specific, Alex is going to be covering the game a little more than I usually do because I have no notes from the game. I had something personal happen to me on Thursday night where I thought I was about to be going through the same thing you went through, Alex. I woke up at midnight and I had severe chest pain and pressure and nausea and lightheadedness and all of the things that go along with, at least according to Google, a heart attack. It says, if you feel a number of these things, call 911. Of course, I didn't right away. I probably waited too long if it was the real thing. And I ended up in the hospital from Friday through Sunday, including the game. But having the DirecTV subscription at least enabled me to watch the game on my phone. So wired up with, you know, tubes coming out of my arms and wires on my chest, holding up the phone with one hand, I was not able to take notes with my other hand.
It was interesting because that Friday morning, you wrote a text in our league, in one of our leagues. We play in two fantasy football leagues, and you were complaining about the power, about the way the waivers. Waiver wire worked.
Yep.
Yeah, and I let you have the Dolphin defense out of, like, I didn't want to see, because I felt so bad. You were telling me, I thought you were having a heart attack. I mean, all your symptoms were that of a heart attack. And I said, I don't want you to be, I knew you weren't stressing out. You were just, it was just everything else. So I said, let me make you happy. I gave you the Dolphin defense. They turned out giving you 21 points, and I turned out losing my first game of the year for doing that. But,
oops.
But it was, man, I'll tell you, it was, I'll take it. I'm okay with that loss, just that you're okay, buddy. And that you're, that, you know, you didn't have the heart attack, which really made me happy. And the fact that, you know, we were talking or texting throughout the weekend and then throughout the game, you know, really was nice, that everything turned out well for you. And then, you know, these things happen. I'm just really, really happy that that it wasn't a heart attack for you.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
And, you know, really the news around the heart is all good. The heart is strong. All the valves are working. There's no blockages. My blood work was really good, having gone plant-based more than a year and a half ago now. The blood work all came back good. Obviously, there's some other problem. Don't know what the other problem is yet, but you know, we're going to continue working to figure out what that was.
Well,
but not
sure
the heart. So
that's good. That's the engine, man, that keeps us going. So awesome, brother. That's really good. So we had our favorite guy come to town,
Mr.
Bug Eye,
Adam Gase, the taco man,
the taco man, and ring the bell. It was classic Gase.
Hey, let me ring the bell just one more time for old time's sake.
Do it, Scott. Do it.
I miss doing that. You know, I actually, to be honest with you, Alex, I am surprised that he was not fired on Monday. I predicted that Sunday would be his last game as a head coach. Of course, it's still possible that it was or it will be. But, you know, if you're going to fire a guy, then you're going to do it the day after the game. And so somehow the worst coach in the NFL, and all the numbers support my statement around that. And all the comments from players that have left the team, and we gotta beat up on Gase a little bit leading into this Jets win.
Well, look, let's backtrack a little bit.
Okay,
we were very early on the bandwagon, or whatever you want to call it, of let's get rid of Gase.
We took a lot of flack from followers and listeners when we started saying he needs to go.
And, you know, and I was a few weeks earlier than you.
You were.
And you were like, Alex, you know, you're being a little hard on him. I'm going, this guy's a joke. This guy's sitting down while his defense is on the field, alone on the bench with his little notes.
Not looking.
Like a total disengaged guy. The players definitely didn't relate to him. And you know, there is a list of players how well they've done after they left Gase. And we, you know, it's important to take a look at those guys because, you know, Landry was a guy he didn't like. And look, he's done pretty well. And you could say he's the best receiver in Cleveland, better than Beckham. At least his numbers
more productive. Yeah.
More, except for one game against Dallas, where everybody can beat up Dallas.
It seems to be that
evidently
way.
Clear.
Yeah.
From yesterday.
Yeah, that guy we stole from him seems to make a big difference, both for us and for them.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, when you look
Mr.
at
Byron
the guy,
Jones.
Yeah, well, he's awesome.
Yep.
He's awesome. He's got to hold on to that pelota.
Oh, he had a pick six.
He had a pick six. Oh. He had a pick six. Yeah. Well, okay, but you look at him. You look at the guys that you know with us. You know, Parker, who's now really blossoming. Who was going to leave the Dolphins and go someplace else? Because if his case would have stayed, he would have definitely jetted out of Miami.
Yep.
No pun intended.
Oh God.
Out of Miami.
Yes.
Yeah. We have Gesicki, who's you know off and on, but at least he's looking like he's potentially could become a great tight end. You got Robbie Anderson, who just left his grip and now is like the best receiver in Carolina. I can go on and on and on.
Well,
and on.
the biggest one of all is Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, that's the one. That's the one that we have to go on. Ryan Tannehill's numbers are historically good.
He got a line and a running game and a good coach, and look what happened with his career.
I mean,
right now he's the highest rated quarterback in the NFL.
And last year he was top five. And right now his last two games are against you know pretty decent teams, and he's just shredding them.
Yeah, I mean, we sat back and we watched him, and we gave him every chance, and we saw the whole pocket presence thing, and the stare downs, and the one receiver look, and a lot of that. But wow, some coaching and some talent around him has the guy has just. And I'm happy for him. I don't have one iota
negativity
towards Ryan because he took a beating for us like nobody's business because we had such a horrific offensive line during that time.
But he's been coached up, and that's what you expected.
Yes.
Out of Gase.
And that's what we thought when we were getting Gase, but we can see now, I'll let you address this, we can see now what turned Gase into this genius. We've mentioned it before, but let's just make it clear.
It's pretty obvious. It was he went and got Peyton Manning at the end of his career.
Yep.
Where Peyton Manning could have been coached by you and I, and in my old days, smoking a cigar and just laughing, you know. I can't mm-hmm. smoke anymore after my, but you know, it was like, who's going to coach Peyton Manning at that stage? And he's taken that and he's
turned it into two head coaching jobs and an offensive coordinator job.
Two head coaching jobs. It's
yes.
crazy.
Yep.
And he's been failing miserably in both. And then he took Donald, who was a top, I think what, second pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And the guy has totally regressed under Gase.
Yeah, and people don't be shocked that if Darnold ends up under a decent coach sometime in the future, if he blossoms the same way Tannehill did.
Tannehill too.
Yep.
Tannehill too. And what's happening in New York, if you really want to know before we get into the game, they are in a tanking mode. I have changed my position on Gase. I don't think he's going to get fired. I thought he was going to get fired after the second time we whip his ass.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be like, you know, with those two victories in a row, that's it. The people would have a
makeup. Right, because essentially it's back-to-back. They had a bye the same week we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now that's gone. And just the action that they did after we beat them 24-0, they traded their captain, their defensive captain.
Mm-hmm.
And when you trade a guy like that, like McGlendon, a starting defensive lineman, number 99, a hell of a player, they traded him for a 7th-round pick to Tampa.
Unreal. I mean, that's shades of Ajayi and you know the people that and Landry and the people that were just exited off the team when he was coaching the Dolphins for nothing.
And Jamal Adams, by the way, tweeted to him, "You thank God, the God is great," something to that effect. Paraphrasing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like you're almost like you're out of jail, buddy. You know, thank God now you're in Tampa, anywhere. You can be in Cleveland, they think it's better than being in New York. So that action.
Well,
to me,
the statistics bear that out.
Exactly.
They are by far the worst team in the NFL, bar none.
Well, in an era of offensive teams and numbers being at an all-time rate of breaking records. I mean, before Dak had that terrible injury, he was averaging, what, 450 yards for the last like three games. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was going to pace for 6,000 yards. Wilson is on that pace. Tannehill. I mean, we could go on and on. Even Josh Adams, before this, Josh Allen, he was having great numbers. But before
Aaron Rodgers is back. He's tearing it up.
Rodgers is tearing it up before he ran into Tampa. But anyway, the NFL is on record-breaking pace with offense. The Jets are on a record pace for the worst team in the history of the Jets.
Yep.
I mean, they just scored obviously a donut with us. I mean, they're just terrible. And that's when what Gase has done. That's what he's taken that team to that depth. Now, so here's my theory. The fact that they traded their defensive captain, the fact that they traded Jamal Adams, the fact that they cut
Bell. Yeah.
Bell was the safety valve. Okay, if you're a young quarterback that's struggling, mm-hmm. that's like the Dolphins right now cutting Gaskin. You know, it would be like you go like he's our Bell right now. He's the best running back we have.
Yeah,
you get rid of that. You're giving that safety valve away. It's death to a quarterback. So the Jets are basically tanking for Trevor. That's my opinion, and he has now convinced the Wilson family that, hey, hang in there. We're going to get Trevor and you're going to watch our turn everything around. That's my opinion. That's exactly, this guy is a hell of a salesman.
Yeah. And so Trevor is so good that they'll be better. I mean, they have to be because Trevor is that good.
Yeah, Trevor.
But they still won't be a good team.
I heard
not with Gase coaching.
No, they won't be, but, you know, the thing is, Gase, what we expected, I don't think he's going to be gone. I think he's going to be around. That's how crazy this whole thing is.
That's actually a win for us.
In a way. In a way, it is a win for us, but I would hate to have Trevor in our division.
Yeah. I know. Because eventually he is going to be fired, and then they get a halfway decent coach in there with Trevor and begin to surround him with stuff. They're going to win.
They're going to win. Yeah. They're going to be tougher. They're going to be better than 0-6, right? They are right now. But look, when you look at this game, you saw it was like I was having these flashbacks. Like I've seen this before, you know, deja vu. It was like running on first down. It was the same. I was just waiting for the bubble screen. It was just Gase is unimaginative. Same old offense, looking horrific.
Because I was watching on my phone, I wasn't able to engage in the sort of live text thing that we always have going on with our Dolphins mm-hmm. buddies. But I was certainly reading and following along. I couldn't help it. Over the screen of the game, all your texts are popping up. I'm going, how do I turn this off? I can't see shit.
Yeah, we were cracking up because not only did they look like a
but very, the amount of bubble screen jokes coming out of everyone was overwhelming.
It was hysterical. I mean, it was completely hysterical. And then you look at the penalties that they did.
Yeah,
the whole thing with the Jets. I mean, every single thing. Let me see the penalties real quick here.
Yeah, it's time to cover the game and actually get into the game.
Yeah. Let's look at the penalty because this is exciting. Oh, they had 7 penalties for 80 yards. And most of them were ridiculous, stupid penalties. And we had to decline a few.
Yes, you know, we did because first down anyways. And
it was unreal. The whole game, the first half, we just saw them play terrible football, making these ridiculous face
undisciplined
masks.
Yeah,
undisciplined. They look like the Raiders but only worse than them because they weren't coming up with anything.
The Raiders now, of old. Yeah,
the Raiders of old. They're honestly a team that you saw that was just a train wreck. I mean, I wrote that in here. I said this is a train wreck, and probably in the texting as well. There was nothing impressive with the way they played. We had them down 21-0 in the first half.
Yep.
As we just totally toyed with them. It was just, they weren't moving the ball. They weren't the Gase with his typical, you know, play calling that we were laughing at. The Jets just looked to me like honestly, the worst team I've seen in a long time.
I will say that, what's one of the things that's panning out over the course of the season is our defensive line is better than expected.
Yeah, I mean, we've been giving props to the offensive line, mm-hmm. which, by the way, now Hunt is the biggest guy on that line. We have a rookie, covering Tua's blindside.
You gave Steve mm-hmm. Marshall some credit, and I want to reinforce that credit. I think not only do we love Flores, and we'll mention some other things about him, but I saw a stat mm-hmm. on Twitter today on just Eric Flowers, right? Mm-hmm. 393 snaps, 2 penalties, 1 sack.
Sack.
From our free agent, you know, and we're mm-hmm. six games in, and, you know, think about the play. Think about the turnaround. Think about the change on the offensive line this year. Not only is it a different coach for the offensive line, but it pretty much, with the exception of Davis, the entire offensive line starting is different.
Mm-hmm.
Three rookies are out there kicking some butt.
Two right now.
Well, two now, but
yeah,
you know, three aggregate it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Jackson should be back. Maybe Jackson. He could possibly be back for that game, right?
He could
for Tua's game.
He could.
Because he's in a 3 week. Well, it's 3 weeks.
Well, it's a short-term IR.
Which is 3 weeks. Yeah. Now, I don't know if it's 3 calendar weeks or 3 games. That I don't know, but I'm assuming it's 3 calendar weeks. I'm hoping.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway,
it'll be interesting to see the notes, news and notes around who's practicing, in the week leading up mm-hmm. to the Rams game. You know, and we can take a look at that when we do that podcast.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. But this game, really, what we saw on it, as far as the individual players are concerned, you know, Ryan, you know, Fitzpatrick, Fritz, I like to call him, Fritz, he had an average game.
The rules of Alex Sines pronunciation.
Yeah, you're gonna get that with me. if you look at him, Fitzpatrick uh-huh. had a 43 quarterback rating.
Yeah, it was
And you say, well, you know. Mm-hmm.
Against a horrible, lackadaisical defense, you know, you made the prediction during last week's podcast that we were going to score more than 40 points.
We should have.
And I completely agreed with you. The Fitz that played against the 49ers was not the Fitz that we got against the Jets.
No, we actually turned the ball over more than the Jets.
Yeah.
Think about that. We had 2 turnovers. They had 1.
And if you take a look at those throws, they were on him.
They were on him.
They were bad reads. Yeah. They were bad throws. They were under throws. And even the ones, even some of them that were incompletes or even completed, if you watch where he was putting the ball, there were a lot of balls that were behind the receiver. So we got bad fits.
Hey, there you go.
Fits this week. Good fits, bad fits. Now, we both love Fitz. So
who won't love him? I mean, the guy is what he is, and he is the best. We've said it a million times.
We were lucky that we were playing the Jets. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, a good team would have put him away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he passed for 191 yards. He targeted Gesicki twice, and both targets were terrible.
Yep.
I mean, he had no chance to get those passes.
One of them was a pick.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he basically, the guy he targeted the most is his favorite guy, Parker.
Right.
But also, Parker left the game injured and never came back. And I think that was a result of the Jets, because he probably would have come back if it was a better team that we were playing.
Yeah, he's been struggling with the ankle and a little bit of hammy, I think, and stuff for a while. So it'll be nice if he can really recover and be ready with this time off.
But there were the whole thing about this game. I mean, there was bright spots offensively. Mm-hmm. Where Preston Williams, when he blocked out for that touchdown,
yep.
he just basically looked like a basketball player. Mm-hmm. But he was targeted 3 times for 18 yards with 2 receptions.
Yeah,
again, not targeted at all or very little. Gaskin was targeted only 4 times. He caught them all. Gaskin doesn't seem to drop a pass, by the way.
Yeah, I for what he is, Gotta love him.
Gotta love him. But the guy that really surprised everybody, it's another Adam, not Gase.
Sheehan.
Yeah, what's up with that kid? I mean, three receptions on three targets, and 51 yards, a touchdown, 43-yard reception.
Second touchdown week by week. He had one against the 49ers, too. And so I was certainly head-scratching. We're coming out there in the two wide-end set, and it looks like primary coverage is going to Gesicki. I mean, he's the receiving tight end, and Sheehan's getting wide open. I mean wide open. So, part of that is, of course, you're not getting your highest-level guy covering that second tight end. And part of it also, of course, is that we're playing the Jets. So,
but the Jets defense, I like to say this, they seem to not quit the defense. The offense, the offense was hysterical because Flacco, when he was back there and when we would put some pressure on him, he was like, the hell with this. And he was just throwing the ball away.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm not taking a hit.
Yep.
And it reminded me of Cutler. And I said, I told you the time, I thought I was watching, I'm telling you, this deja vu, it was Cutler playing for the Jets.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I'm going to get hit. Hell no, I'm throwing this ball away. It wasn't like he wasn't sacrificing anything for the team.
Nope.
He was at the bench laughing. I mean, when they showed him laughing, I was like,
the very opposite of the way Fitz plays, where that guy tucks it and runs and dives and just puts every ounce of effort into it, which is, again, a leadership quality and why people love to play with him.
Well, I thought we were going to see Tua earlier because Fitz was going to run and kill himself because the way he just dives at people, he doesn't know how to slide.
Oh, he took a nasty headshot. And anyway, he got, we got the personal foul penalty.
Another illegal, stupid hit by the Jets.
Yep.
That was targeting. But, when you look at the defense, it really has come around. The other guy that shined a lot was Gaskin. I mean, he ran the ball 5.1 yard per carry.
That's his best showing so far.
Best ever. Best by far.
Yep.
And Fitzpatrick ran the ball only once for 4 yards, so he wasn't his typical self.
No, he was not tucking the ball away and.
No, he wasn't.
Creating things.
And by the way, Frank Gore, which we'll talk about some incident there that was interesting on Frank Gore.
Yep.
He ran the ball 11 times for 46 yards, 4.2 average.
The old man has got the unending desire, drive, heart. Outstanding person. I mean,
outstanding.
Who doesn't love Frank Gore? I mean, apparently he's wearing a Jets uniform.
apparently, Flores is a fan of his or him.
Yeah.
Him Flores.
So I wish I had written down the name of the guy that posted it. I don't have it in front of me, but I certainly have the note. I shared it with you guys today. I saw on Twitter somebody posted a little clip of Frank Gore on the sideline after one of those effort runs where Flores, it wasn't quite a high five, but it was definitely a hand slap. Mm-hmm. And just seeing that at that moment from that post, I didn't notice it during the game. I mean, it was a real camera,
It was Eric Elizondo.
Yeah.
Little quick shout out to him.
All right. Perfect. So shout out to Eric because that was an awesome moment. It says a lot. It says, again, what kind of a human being we have as a coach who recognizes everything going on, is totally engaged, and takes a moment to pay respect, I guess you would say, to a guy like Frank Gore. That's awesome. It's awesome.
No, it shows you the kind of leader we do have.
Character. And
by the way, now that we're in the Twitter, this is what Jamal Adams had to say to Steve McGlendon. Mm-hmm. He told him, I'm so happy for you, brother. Look at God's work. Exclamation point number 99. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, you're talking about this is why I brought that Twitter. That you got one coach that was tweeted about how cool thing that he does for an opposing player.
Yep.
That's a Miami guy. He knows
and
all
Gore
that.
Gore never played for Flores.
They may have played against each other in college. I don't know. I mean, they're like, what, 2 years apart?
Yeah.
But anyway, but Flo is showing respect for the Miami guy, the Miami native that played for the Dolphins, all this heart. And that you have another coach with no leadership that people are saying, I'm glad you're out of hell.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what we have in Miami. And thank God that we're on the side of the coin that, you know, we have that good coach. We have that good leadership. We have that strength. But listen, back to the Jet game. Mm-hmm. We had this 21-0 lead that was awesome. And it looked like our prediction, you know, and when I predicted 42 points,
we were on pace for that. Yes.
Yeah, that we were exactly. Not going to take the foot off the pedal.
Mathematically perfect.
Perfect, right? 42 is exactly what I said, 42-0.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be a slaughter, just never relentless. We kind of did the second half. We again didn't have that killer instinct, and I think that's one of the things that's probably missing in Miami.
Yeah.
Is that we still don't have that as a team. But hell, there's so many other positives that that's going to come, and I think Tua has that.
Yeah. You know? So again, it's a great win. Our defense great skunked win. Them. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. They are the worst team by far in the NFL, so you can't get too hyped up about it, especially their offense being so bad. I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried about the overall sharkness of our coaching staff. Was this because they felt like Bad Fitz was out there and he wasn't in a rhythm and he wasn't getting into a rhythm and that they didn't want to stretch things and push the envelope? Or is it because that we have a coaching staff that's so conservative in nature that they're going to do this on a consistent basis? You get a 3-score lead and then you take the foot off the gas. I don't like that, and neither do you.
I do not like it at all. And statistically, the Jets, in many of important statistics, they outplayed us. And that's crazy to say when you lose 24-0, but to get more turnovers than us. And we all know Jimmy Johnson used to talk about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one statistic you can't lose. You can't have more turnovers than you take.
That's right.
That's huge. Time of possession was on the Jets side, you know, 31 and a half, almost 32 minutes to 28.
Yeah.
So there was certain things you saw the Jets doing that you were going, what the hell? I mean, how did they? But again, the Jets offense is so pathetic that they only had 263 yards, but we only had 302 yards
total
of total offense, mm-hmm. total offense. You know, and you know, one more time that the Dolphins in rushing, which is interesting, you know, we did get over 100 yards finally.
Finally.
We got 110. And
what was Gaskin's exact number?
I think he ended up with 91. Hold on. Oh. For you right now. He was damn close.
I was really pulling for him to get his first
91.
100.
Exactly 91. 18 carries, 91 yards, 5.1. He played a hell of a game. I mean, he showed a lot of chutzpah and strength when he was running that ball, man. He was a lot of burst.
There's no quit in him. Yep.
No quit.
He's not, he's not going to go down with that arm tackle or that first guy to hit him if he can at all help it, even with his being a small back.
Yeah. A couple of times he was running like Delvin, like Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Darren, when you look at him, that's another Gase disaster.
Yes.
You know, the guy, like, you know, you could say a product of the Chiefs, whatever you want to call it, but the guy has the most touchdowns, like one of the most in the history of the NFL. I mean, the guy's got a nose for the end zone, and we loved him when he was here, when he was with the Dolphins.
Yeah, he was raw. He had that. His number one move was the spin move, so he was always spinning out there, especially as a rookie. I'm like, that needs to be coached a little bit, but that guy has a lot of potential.
He showed he could catch the ball. I mean, anyway,
yep. Yeah,
and that's what Gaskin is showing. You know, Gaskin is showing that he can catch the ball, and he can really he really shows a lot of heart, a lot of heart. So the second half, I mean, it ended up 3-0 the whole second half, obviously.
Yeah. Yep.
So the fourth quarter, it wasn't like we had Tua in there. I mean, it would have been nice to get Tua in probably a little bit earlier.
Yeah. How about the whole fourth quarter?
That would have been,
or at least a possession where he's allowed to actually manage a drive.
I'm not convinced that the Dolphins were themselves convinced to play Tua after. I think they were talking about it, but when they looked at the game film and they saw on Monday how Fitz really looked, that he didn't look great. He looked okay. Mm-hmm. They're saying, you know, maybe it's time for that excellence. And they saw that Tua looked damn sharp. And that's short sample as it is.
Yeah, it's too small.
Too small.
Too small a sample to really.
Yeah, but you know what?
But we have a history of watching him in college, so we know what he can look like.
It's not like we never seen him throw a pass before, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And his it's 2 for 2 for 9 yards is not going to, you know, break the bank anywhere. But, hey, you know what? It is what it is, and we got him. We got him now as our quarterback, and that's the part that's the most exciting about this whole thing. Is this? So the Jet game at the end of the day, terrible team. The guy that keeps impressing me though is Zach Ziegler.
Yes, I agree, and I think we've consistently called him out week after week. I'm a little worried about the concussion because
the concussion was for Andrew
Van Ginkel.
Van Ginkel, yeah.
I know.
He's also
been trending up, up, up.
And he was subbing for Van Noy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's we're starting to get – well, we're going to have
well,
two
even
weeks.
With Van Noy on the field, he's seen field. Playing time. No, I mean previously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the guy that was not on the field, and you're good with his name, the rookie cornerback.
Noah?
Yeah, Noah. It just goes to Noah. Yeah. And Davis was on the field, and he did have two tackles. Raekwon Davis, yeah, from Alabama. Mm-hmm. He had one solo tackle, and that's about it.
Not horrible for a non-starting defensive, you know, center tackle. Mm-hmm. So.
No, not bad at all. And we did, you know.
Remember when teams used to have a nose guard? Does that exist anymore? Sorry for the tangent.
No, not really.
Yeah, I don't think it exists as a position anymore. I'm the nose guard.
I do want to give a little shout out to Jason Sanders, who again
remains perfect. Yes,
remains perfect for the year. And our punter, it wasn't the best outing because his leg probably was tired at the end of the second half there. But he had 7 punts, which more than I care for to see him punt.
Yeah,
I kind of like him like we did against San Francisco.
Two.
We only punted 2.
Yeah.
But in this one, it was 7 punts, 40 yards average, which again is decent. But not the way he's doing.
We're lucky with special teams. I mean, really, if you think about it, we have spectacular skill players on special teams. They're exceptional. Yes.
No, we do. We again, no signs of Howard. I think his days are pretty much done.
Yeah, it was a mistake, and I think everyone realizes it was a mistake.
We know it now, and that's it. And we only had 2 backs really touch the ball at all, and it was mostly Gaskin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rita did have 6 carries. 15 yards to
no more free agent running back signings. This offseason, it's about
we got to draft.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we have to draft. We have to bring him in. But, you know, let's end this. I mean, like we started. I really think this is all about Tua. And as a Dolphin fans, we have to really appreciate the fact that we have a very special young man, a very, very special young man that has the leadership qualities, that has the pedigree, that's already been a champion at a high level in college, and that has the admiration and respect already of his teammates.
Already. Not even having started a game, he has it.
Not having started a game, everyone, including the quarterback himself that was, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's got his admiration. Every single person loves this kid, and now he's got the chance to prove it on the biggest stage. And he's going to make mistakes, and we have to be patient with that, and he's going to have his moments that he's raw, but he's going to have those moments of brilliance, and he's going to have that's what we haven't seen in so long.
And I can't wait to see it. We've got to wait 2 weeks to see this, and I'm so excited.
This is the best. I mean, this is the gift that we got this year. I mean, with all the craziness of this season and the pandemic, the change of schedule, we got him earlier than we expected. And like we said, this is just going to be fun. This is going to be great to see Tua out there showing what he's got, and the Miami Dolphins legitimately having a shot at a playoff with a rookie. That's
here we go, Dolphins. Here we go.
The Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page. We now have a YouTube channel. Please go there, like our videos, and smash that subscribe button. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelitas Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring because they are the best.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Dolphins. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins.